This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us here on a, what is a 60-degree day in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm used to saying here in 110-degree-plus today here in Arizona, so 60 feels weird after five straight months of triple digits. It almost feels cold, but it's not really cold. So thank you for joining us. And I know some of you are living in places where you're thinking, like, 60, what are you, a wimp or something? So last week, we talked with Amy and Chris Landers, and they both shared their stories on how their husband's sexual sin had affected them and the journey they've been through. And so if you haven't heard their stories or listened to last week's show, I encourage you to go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or our website at blazinggrace.org. We have archives of all of our shows. There are several hundred of them up there. And just in case you're listening for the first time and saying, who is Blazing Grace? We are an international ministry to people who struggle with porn and sex addiction and adultery. We offer counseling. I've written 9 books. We have online and Zoom groups. We work with people literally from all over the globe, people from England, Europe, participating in our groups and wanting counseling. So this is a worldwide problem, and it has affected many men and women. So ladies, Chris and Amy, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Mike.
So Amy, I'm going to start with you. You said you had you and your husband in the recovery, or you tried to have a recovery process. You worked with marriage counselors. Mm-hmm. And some of that advice you were getting, well, you just need to submit to and forgive your husband, basically saying you just need to choke on how he was hurting you. And when I hear that, the thing that comes to my mind is what they're really saying is your heart doesn't matter, and we don't want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. What is your take?
I felt like I was to blame for my husband's sexual sin. When I would leave the counselor's office, I was so confused. I was hurting. He didn't seem to be, and yet this was my fault. So my husband would also tell me that if I would just be intimate with him more, that this wouldn't happen. I'm just now learning that that is a complete lie. Mm. This was not my fault. Mm. But why has it been over the decades that this epidemic has been a woman's problem?
Mm. Oh, can I say something to that?
Sure.
Sorry, when I first went through my healing program when we were at our church in California, they, even though it was a great program and we loved it, they said that a wife is codependent. What we call it now is betrayal trauma. Mm-hmm. And that's how we understand it differently. But at that time, that's what it said. If you're with an addict, then you're a co-addict. And that's really painful for a woman to hear because we just love our husband, you know. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Well, when I hear things like this is your fault and you walking out of a counselor's office, what comes to my mind is the intense spiritual battle against the wife. Mm. This is your fault. I am to blame. And if you're walking out of a counselor's office feeling that way, something has really gone wrong. Mm-hmm. So were these Christian counselors?
They were.
Mm-hmm. Do they feel like spiritual abuse?
Mm-hmm. I know that to be true now, but then I didn't see it as such.
And I bring this up because, unfortunately, we hear this quite a bit from wives, mm-hmm. that the advice they got from maybe well-meaning Christians, even pastors, were if you didn't give your husband enough sex, he wouldn't have this problem. You cannot resolve a lust and sin issue by having sex, so that's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's her fault, which is a lie, because the husband 100% chooses to engage in that. Mm-hmm. And it is not, so it is not her fault, but what the enemy tries to do is destroy your heart. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how do you heal from that?
Well, I'm just now on the journey towards healing. I think that God will use the fact that my husband is having an affair to heal my heart, because now I have found a support group of Christian women who are sharing their stories, and we're studying God's word and what God has to say about this sin. And through that group and the support of my family and my friends and my therapist, I believe that I will heal.
Mm. Chris, last week you talked about a real critical juncture in your own story about how you felt like you needed to hear from Jesus on what he wanted you to do. And I love that. And sometimes the wife will ask me, well, should I divorce, separate? And I'll say, what is God saying to you? Speak to how critical it is to hear from him.
Well, I think I tell every woman that I talk to now, I say that you need to hear from Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Because every situation is different. So Amy's situation is different from mine. And her husband isn't repentant. He's not coming home. He feels fine having an affair. And God knew that my husband was going to get healing. And so I think we just have to hear from Jesus. But it is hard when you're so emotionally traumatized. So I think there's a process sometimes to listening. And it's good to wait until you really hear. Like for me, I didn't leave him right away. And when the Lord showed me what he did, he just spoke to me from his word. And I had a couple friends that I talked to about it, but they were very, you know, your friends are protective of you and they don't want you to be hurting and in a marriage where your husband's struggling. And especially if they're not familiar, you know, with anything regarding addiction or pornography. And so, of course, they're going to tell you, you know, you need to leave him. But I just think it's so important to hear from God. So
share with us a little more about hearing from God, what that looks like.
Well, we're doing something in our group right now, the healing group that we have, where we take a scripture a week and we write it down. And right now we're going through like who I am in Christ. That's how we've started doing it. But they can pick any scripture they want. And we commit it to memory if we can. But what the point of it really is to just sit with Jesus and hear him speak to our hearts over that scripture, you know. And so to me, that's like a really good way to begin to hear God speaking. And sometimes he does it through his word, through a friend, you know, through a pastor, just someone we really trust. So.
And then resting in silence, that's a part of it too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And waiting, you know, until we hear. And what I love about the scriptures is when we got to this part in our workbook that we were going to start doing this, I was so excited because I thought, this is such a big part of our healing and such a big part of us going deeper with God is really not, I used to just think of, I had just had to memorize scriptures. And so for years, I wrote them out on 3x5 cards and committed them to memory. But when you're sitting with Jesus and waiting to hear what he says to you about a scripture, it's something that goes deeper in your heart. Like this, mine this week, if I can remember it, it was about, I'm the apple of God's eye, you know? So there was a couple scriptures and one of them was in Deuteronomy, I think it was 32:10. And I can't remember it exactly, but it was like, you know, it was about, I found you in this wasteland and, you know, and took you up and watched over you like you're the apple of my eye, you know. So all of a sudden, I just felt like the Lord saying to me, I've found you in this wasteland in your marriage, this really broken place. Mm-hmm. And I just took you up in my arms and I watched over you and I brought you to a place of healing and deep restoration. And so how much more will I not do that the rest of your life until I bring you home to my arms safely in heaven? And it was so emotional for me. And I was telling Gene, it was happening right there while I was with him and I was writing it down. He goes, you just got there right now. But that was such a deep thing. I'll never forget that. That's like getting God's word in our heart where it's changing us. I'm the apple of his eye. So I don't have to fear what the future is going to bring because he's going to watch over me. And he's already shown me in the healing process how much he cares for me.
And that surely neutralizes some of those lies, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. that I'm to blame mm-hmm. and the others.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first thing we talk about. This had absolutely nothing to do with you mm-hmm. because, like you shared, usually young boys and girls are looking at porn at age 8. And what we've kind of come to understand is that when trauma happens through our group and our workbook is when trauma happens when a child is young, that the limbic system is fully developed at age 6. That's the emotional side of the brain, but the prefrontal cortex is not fully developed till you're in your 20s. So when trauma happens, you know, to a young boy, like my husband was sexually abused, he was physically abused, he was abandoned at age 12. So much trauma happened. You can't reason. And I was physically abused by my dad. I can't reason at a young age, oh, my dad must have suffered some kind of abuse and, you know, he never got healing. And so that's why he's beating me. You know, no, we just feel it emotionally. And so we self-soothe. Like my soothing was through food. But when a young person is coming into their sexual feelings and, you know, they start soothing themselves and medicating their pain through porn and masturbation. And I think they, you know, they get hooked at such a young age, it starts changing the chemistry in their brain, which we're learning about too. So it is for sure a sin issue, but it's also, I think, a brain issue. Mm-hmm. So I think there's both parts to it.
Yeah. You said you're physically abused. What did that look like and how long?
Well, my dad, we had 5 kids in our family, and my dad was really only abusive to me. What I later reasoned when I, you know, could use my prefrontal cortex was I think I was most like my dad, but he would beat me with a belt. He called me a slut and a whore. One time my brother was little and he was crawling over to our basement stairs and I forgot to close the door. And I was only 10 years older than him, so I was probably 10 and he was a baby. And my dad, it scared him because he almost fell down the stairs, but he just slapped me across the face until I wet my pants. So but he didn't do that to anybody else. So I think I was just most like my dad and all the things that he, you know, saw in himself that he didn't like, he saw in me.
So people who have been abused go through a lot of shame and mm-hmm. self-loathing and fear. How have you healed from that?
Well, I went to counseling for, you know, a little while, and I actually wrote a letter to my dad and told him, like, everything he'd ever done and how it affected me, and asked him. My counselor had said, you know, you don't have to give it to him, but I wanted to. And so we went for a walk to the park one night, and I gave it to him, and he read it, and he cried because he was very abused as a child. And he said this was the only regret he had in his life was how he treated me. But it still doesn't, you know, so that helped. And after that, I gave my heart to the Lord. So then I found a lot of healing in Christ. But when you're wounded, when you're young, it just forms your soul. Like I have a lot of insecurity that I still struggle with because of that. And and I think that's what's happening in the hearts of, you know, like my husband, just being so abused as a child. You know, you you medicate your pain. You don't learn how to deal with anything in a, you know, correct adult way. And then it just really affects you the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's switch gears and talk about fear for a moment. We see that a lot of women struggle with fear. Mm-hmm. What is my husband doing? Does he really want help? And am I really blank, fill in the blank? We see that the enemy assaults women a lot with fear, because when he can get them immobilized in fear, you know, it's really hard to move forward with anything. Mm-hmm. So, Amy, we'll start with you. What does that look like for you?
So I'm recognizing that over the years, I've really lost the ability to feel much of anything. Mm-hmm. My happiness and my sadness, my anger and my fear, they exist, but they're in a dull form mm-hmm. of those emotions. I think now, living separately from my husband, I am not so anxious because I'm not constantly thinking about what's going on unbeknownst to me. And my feelings are coming back mm-hmm. for the first time in a really long time. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm starting to pull away from the fear that I've experienced for decades mm-hmm. over my husband's addiction. And even though the emotions I'm experiencing right now are grief, mm-hmm. extreme sadness, I have yet to feel extreme happiness, but I know it's coming. But I'm just so thankful that I'm able to feel them mm-hmm. again. So I think that is because Jesus is taking away my fear and he's replacing it with peace mm-hmm. for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean you kind of walled up for a while or shut your heart
down? Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. The part of my story that I didn't share last week was that 5 years ago, I couldn't do it anymore because of the perversion in my marriage. I could not be intimate. So I paused intimacy with my husband so that I could seek help for myself. And I begged him to get help for himself. That didn't happen, but I feel like God was beginning to start me down the path of healing a little bit at a time, little increments, and he led me to the place now where I'm just so ready to give up all my hurt mm. and all my struggles from these last 25 years mm. and hand them over to him.
Mm. One thing I really love about Amy, when we met, she just said, I'm ready to go deep. I'm ready to feel the pain. I'm ready to do whatever I have to do to get healing. And I just appreciated that so much about her because she's really doing it. And it is really hard, but mm-hmm. she just keeps digging and letting God do a work in her. So,
because if you don't deal with it now and you stuff it down, it's just going to come up later.
Yeah.
So why not mm-hmm. feel it, sit in the muck, mm-hmm. get through it,
mm-hmm.
and it may come up a little bit mm-hmm. down the road, but it's not going to be full force. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with it head on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of that, what we see is with people is that we put walls up because we're afraid of getting hurt. And it's like, I've had enough of this. Mm-hmm. But some people can struggle with, God, are you really there? Are you really going to show up and check my heart? Mm-hmm. So part of that letting the wall down, too, is also transferring that into trust, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How about your own issues with fear? What does that look like, Chris?
Well, when Gene was in his addiction before we'd gone through healing, I was super fearful that he was doing bad things. So I was always checking his phone, checking the computer, checking up on him, you know, and that's normal response to trauma, mm-hmm. you know, and So we started doing things because he was interested in, so that was back kind of in his addiction, but then, you know, healing really takes time and trust takes a long time to rebuild. So he got covenant eyes, so that helped me without having to check everything. You know, it blocks porn from all his devices, got it on all his devices. And then we got trackers on our phone so we can see where each other is, so I didn't have to ask him all the time, where are you? And sometimes I'd look him up, I'd see where he was, and then I'd call him and say, you know, so what are you doing? He'd tell me, and I go, okay. You know, and so just over time, things like that helped rebuild trust. So I don't really have any fear now. I feel like our healing is so complete that I don't even have, obviously, the same emotion talking about our story as I did when I was in the story. But, you know, but I know that Satan is out to kill and steal and destroy, and so we're not unaware of that. But what I think now, like we had a conversation recently because it was part of my homework from our group, like what is my safety action plan in case I ever find him, you know, doing porn or acting out again? But I said to him, because you're not in the addiction anymore, it's hard for me to just have a lot of grace because now I feel like it would just be your choice. Because when your brain is addicted, it is still a choice, but there's a process going on there. So I don't really struggle with that fear anymore, but I shared my action plan if that were ever to happen, you know, again.
To help our listeners understand what their expectations are for recovery, I think some people think that, well, we can 2, 3, 6 months will be done. Mm-hmm. And you said last week, Chris, that this takes years. Mm. Speak to that.
Well, I know that we talk about it being a 3 to 5 year process, which is scary when people are just finding out that their husband's struggling and your whole life has been disrupted, that this is going to take 3 to 5 years. But it really does, because there's so much healing that needs to happen and so much rebuilding. But what I always said was, it wasn't like I was in pain for 3 to 5 years, which ours was actually longer. But we just did our life. Like you said, we were doing life and having celebrations and doing whatever, and then we'd struggle. And then so it is like you're taking some steps forward, and then you take some, you know, a step or two backwards. And so what did you ask me?
To elaborate on how long it takes.
Long
so
it
that
takes.
People understand this isn't just a 3-month deal.
It's not, because like Amy shared, this has been going on for years in your marriage, and it was going on in my husband's life, you know, years, I mean, since he was a kid, so years before we met. So it isn't just healed with, you know, someone praying a prayer of deliverance over you. It really forms our soul, you know, how we start dealing with our pain and dealing with our life. And so it takes time to unravel all of that. And then it really takes time to rebuild trust. One of the things that we did for rebuilding trust, too, is like if something came up. So my husband learned about turning and connecting. So if he saw something sexual on a commercial or, you know, at the beach or anywhere, he would just turn away and not look, and in his heart connect with the Lord or think about me. And I would watch him do that over and over and over. And that just started rebuilding trust again. But it takes time.
Mm-hmm. So we got about a minute and a half left. Let's take 30 seconds to answer this. Why aren't churches talking openly about this?
Can I share about our church? We both go to a big church in the Valley, and I think there's so much shame involved with it that it is hard to even know how to address it, especially in a bigger church. But our church has really started to talk about it. Like, we just recently did a series for men becoming godly men for like 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they have embraced us in our campus doing this ministry and sharing how much it's needed. So I have been proud of our church for kind of stepping forward.
Your take?
I agree with Chris. I think it's shame. I think it's been taboo for so long, but it's time to bring it into the light.
Which is what you ladies have been doing the last 2 weeks, and I really want to thank you and express my appreciation for you two coming on and putting it out there. And I know you're going through the divorce right now, Amy, so my hat really goes off to you, because I've never had anybody come on before who was still right in the middle of it. So
thank you
for being willing to put it out there. And so, ladies, if you're listening, don't lay in the weeds. Reach out. Get help. Are you willing to share contact information for your group?
Oh, well, they could contact CCV Church. That's where we go to church. And our campus is Verado, and they know how to get a hold of – our pastors know how to get a hold of me.
Okay, great. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.